This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy. This is Well on Joy 94.9, presented to you every week by the Victorian AIDS Council as we talk about health and well-being in our gender, sex and sexually diverse community. I'm Jessie and I'm joined this week by my lovely co-host Tex. Tex, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks Jessie. How are you?
I'm good. Always glad to be here with you.
Indeed, it's great to be on air together, especially in this chilly winter.
Of course.
Chilly winter. But Jessie, before we get into the show, this is NAIDOC week, and I'd like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people who are the traditional custodians of this land. I'd like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, of the Kulin Nation, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians listening. So, happy NAIDOC week.
Indeed. And on top of NAIDOC week, there's obviously a lot happening at the moment, especially with the election on the weekend. Did you get up bright and early to vote, Tex?
I got up bright and early. It took me a while to get going. I had breakfast and then I went and voted.
Did you have to wait in line very long?
I did. I had to wait for about 45 minutes.
Okay.
Because the white paper in the election, the green paper was really small and easy to do, but the white paper for the upper house was like, a flying carpet. It was so big. And everybody was remarking how big it was and how small the cubicle was that you had to fill it in. So you had to fold it three times to get it to fit.
It was a bit awkward.
And then to go backwards and forwards, and it's a really funny time in the election where we don't know who is going to be the government, who's going to be the prime minister, which party will be in opposition.
We're all just
stay
kind of
tuned and
sitting here twiddling our thumbs,
yes, and waiting to see what happens
on the edge of our seats. So, as it's also NAIDOC week, we have a very special guest joining us here tonight, Bruce Fitzgerald, which will continue this conversation. But if you'd like to get in touch with us or ask us any questions or make any comments, please do so. And you can do this by sending us an SMS that will come straight into the studio on 0427 Joy 949, or send us an email to onair@joy.org.au. You're listening to Well on Joy 94.9. I'm joined in the studio by my lovely co-host Tex and our guest Bruce Fitzgerald. Good evening, Bruce. Welcome to our show. How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Now, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
I'm 56 years old. I'm an undergraduate at the ACU University. I've been HIV positive for 25 years. And I'm on the board of, I'm on the committee for the Reconciliation Action Plan for the VAC.
Great.
Bruce, could you tell us what some of the major misconceptions the general public have about Aboriginal culture? You know, what sort of things do they, you know, get a bit confused about?
It's a bit of a broad question, of course.
It's a broad question. It's a broad question, and it probably helps me as well.
It's an interesting question because I studied sociology, race and ethnicity last semester at uni, and that's one of the things that we learned at uni, was that the othering of the Aboriginal start by how the press focus on what happens in the Northern Territory with the violence up there, or the violence in Alice Springs, or the crime rates. They don't focus on what Aboriginals actually doing. Most Aboriginals live in urban environments and are doing pretty well.
So you think there's a lot of focus on all the negative kind of things going on?
Certainly are. And that relates to any black community in any white society at the moment.
And why do you think that is?
And he's racist. You have to say it.
Indeed. So can you give us, I guess sometimes a lot of, like I was saying earlier, or I mentioned to you, sometimes people, when they use language that is inappropriate, it's sometimes not necessarily racism. It can just be ignorance. Have you got, and obviously not in the case of what we know, but, you know, just say every day on the street or something, can you give us any specific examples that you can think of that what you might consider inappropriate language that is used?
we don't use part Aboriginal words anymore. Some people like to say that I'm quarter Aboriginal. I don't look Aboriginal.
Mm.
What does an Aboriginal look like? Mm-hmm. What I learnt last semester at university was, if you look at the $2 coin, that's a racist symbol. It's got the Queen on one side, and it's got the Aboriginal man on the other side dressed in a traditional dress. Honestly, have you ever seen an Aboriginal in Melbourne in traditional dress? No.
No.
I mean, we don't do it anymore here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose the only time I would have seen that is when someone is doing a welcoming ceremony or a traditional performance, perhaps, during... like
holding on to our traditional customs, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. But we don't want to be represented as that man.
Yeah. And have you got any personal experience you'd like to share with us that have that you've experienced that you thought was kind of inappropriate or, like you had mentioned before, that contributed to your view of how it's being viewed in Australia at the moment?
In what way? I mean, like all through primary school and high school, I'm told by teachers that I would never amount to anything. From the age of 13, I'm being picked up by the police. One of the main, back in the 70s when I was a teenager, one of the main charges we used to cop was consorting. We'd pinch a lolly from a milk bar, pass it for stealing, right, thieving. So how can you not consort with your friends? It's just, and every time you got, like you get free charges of consorting within 8 hours,
yeah,
you have to do 24 hours time, jail. That just impacts on your life in ways that, you turn out to be a criminal.
Yeah. And have you observed that this is there's different treatment on that compared to other specific races in Australia?
Oh, certainly, yes. I've been in positions where there's been trouble and the only people arrested are the Aboriginals in the group. And we haven't even started the trouble. We're just... police will say that we're used to being locked up, so they'll take us with us.
Which sounds pretty outrageous in the 21st century, pretty outrageous in the 20th century. We look back at the 20th century.
So, Bruce, when it comes to healthcare, what are the most areas of most need within the Aboriginal community?
Everything. It's true. Healthcare for Aboriginals is a big problem. It's well documented. Aboriginals find it very difficult to access healthcare sometimes. And it's quite interesting when you look at how they depict Aboriginals in the Northern Territory and all them other areas and the lack of facilities they actually have. If you've ever seen the documentary John Pillinger's Utopia, he highlights this very much. It seems to be that the more money they throw at the Aboriginals, the more money the government spends on Aboriginal healthcare and other services, the more it builds a white industry of services. It doesn't actually come down to on-ground benefits for the Aboriginals.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm imagine there are a lot of different barriers when it comes to accessing healthcare. Can you think of what are some of the specific barriers, like other than the fact that they don't have services in these areas?
And because they're a closed community, it's very difficult sometimes to actually admit that you have a problem. Like, take HIV, for example. I myself lived with probably HIV for 5 years before I even thought about going and get it tested. I was ashamed. And I didn't want the people in my community give me grief about it.
Yeah, so cultural barriers for one.
Yeah, the cultural barriers are quite high. And the fear factor, because of all the past events and circumstances of the Aboriginal people, a lot of Aboriginal people will fear going into any white sort of structured place. It's, you know,
is that because of fear of judgment?
Not just fear of judgment, fear of getting into trouble as well.
Right.
You take an Aboriginal woman, for example, she'll go through a lot of crap before she'll even... admit that she's got a problem because she's worried about the welfare stepping and taking away her children. Mm. Especially when it comes to physical abuse and stuff like that. It's quite shocking how Aboriginals will put up with a lot more stuff than a lot more illness in their life and not actually go and get help until it's too late.
Now, Bruce, does that involve organisations like the Aboriginal Controlled Health Service here in Victoria? Or would Indigenous people, Aboriginal people, be less likely to access services there because of their past experiences with medical treatment in other places?
And it's more cultural.
Yep. So, how so, as in cultural, what do you mean by cultural when you say that? To explain to our listeners who may not understand.
It's a, because it's your own family, sort of, your own cousins you're going in to see.
Ah, right.
And talk about your own illnesses that, you know, and you don't want to worry them too much. You don't want to, you know, it's a private matter, your illness sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it mightn't be that private.
Yeah.
They think. I'm sure these services guarantee their confidentiality.
Yeah.
That's not getting through to the people on the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They still have their doubts and they still have their homegrown truths, as you might say.
Yeah. Do you have any insight to share on kind of like where we can start with this? I mean, like you said earlier, specifically would be having access to services. So the fact that there aren't physically any services in the area. What about anything
I think that's
else?
Happening here in Victoria quite well. Up in Redfern, it's happening going quite well along that sort of line at the moment. I know myself, at being involved with the Indigenous unit at uni, there's 30 nurses at the moment going through uni that are doing Aboriginal healthcare.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's becoming a more and more specialised service, and it's going to be a lot better next soon in years to come, I would presume. But up in the Northern Territory and Queensland and Western Australia, that's just a completely different story, I'd say.
So are the nurses that you're aware of who are being trained, are they nurses that would be working in cities like Melbourne, Sydney, places like that,
yeah,
or moving out into country as well?
No, they wouldn't like to move out to country.
Right.
Us urban Aboriginals, we don't like the country that much.
Okay. So have you got any personal experience to share that contributes to barriers to access? I know earlier you said it was kind of that stigma that you're worried about and then how a female would feel possibly. Have you ever experienced anything that has kind of stopped you from accessing?
Pride. It took me a long time to actually admit that I might have had a problem with HIV.
Mm.
It took me another 5 years, 6 years before I even considered medication. I don't know. It's a funny question.
I mean, are there some things that, like, what can, I guess that's a very serious issue, obviously. Like, it's not easily dealt with, but how do you think, from a healthcare perspective, we could make it more welcoming for Aboriginal individuals to come and access healthcare? Any insight? What you think could be done better?
More on-ground troops, more on-ground doctors, nurses, healthcare workers. They have to have the facilities. You can't have... I come from born and bred in West Heidelberg in Melbourne here. The community centre over there, where a lot of Aboriginals attend there and all that sort of stuff, a lot of white people attend there, a lot of Muslims attend there. The Banyule City Council decided to close down all the health centres in their area and make the West Heidelberg Community Centre the main healthcare centre for the whole of the Banyule City area. I've done this 10 years ago. I find that amazing.
Mm.
You're talking about areas like Ivanhoe, Heidelberg, Eaglemont, three of the most expensive suburbs in Melbourne, and then you've got East Ivanhoe, which is one like very expensive. All them sort of people that were living in them areas on the pension have to come to West Heidelberg to go to the community centre to get healthcare. They make up a large number. Services are stretched very thin. This sort of thing happens all over Melbourne. They could close down services. They do not renew them.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we need to get more funding into the healthcare service department.
Yeah.
Would be good. But we'll be right back. Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We're back in the studio with Bruce. Now, we were talking about access to healthcare earlier and healthcare needs. Now, in Australia, about 75% of new HIV infections occur amongst gay and bisexual men. Now, as far as I'm aware, this is not the same statistic amongst Aboriginal people, is it? Can you elaborate on that?
No, it's about 50-50 for the Aboriginal people. You would presume that it's because people don't use condoms, wouldn't you? It's quite naturally. But also, I think a lot of it's got to do with clean syringes and also the large incarceration rate of Indigenous people.
Prisons.
Prisons-associated homosexuality and rape.
Of course.
Plus lack of clean syringes in prison as well.
Yeah.
What do you think we as a community, so the wider community or the general public, can help to do to improve the current situations? Is it stuff like advocating for the syringes to be available in prisons? Is it advocating for condoms to be available in prisons? Is it providing more education to all sorts of people?
I think all three. I'd like to know how you could get the Western Australian government to introduce syringes in their community, but into their prison communities, that'd be a good idea.
Because
they've got huge rates of incarceration over there. That's the thing you've got to remember. You're not talking just about Aboriginals here in Melbourne. You're talking about the whole of Australia, aren't we?
Yep.
And in the Northern Territory, in Western Australia, they're just a bit behind the times, I think. Not as we'd say switched on to preventative medicine as we are here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Actually, my friend Sean Swift runs the needle exchange.
Here in Melbourne?
He started up when he got out of jail once, a few years back. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've got them sort of programs here in Melbourne. They should be run throughout all the world, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it takes a while for people to jump on board with those ideas, isn't it? It's supposedly like a new cutting edge idea. But can you just kind of share with our listener, I know earlier you were talking about the living conditions that some people lived in, it was quite outrageous. Can you feel free to share about that?
In a documentary by John Pillinger, Utopia, he highlights the Aboriginals living in a place called Utopia, 200 kilometres from Alice Springs. They're doing all right until about 2013. And one lady comments there that everything was okay until the helicopters with satellite dishes and aerials started flying over their place.
Yeah.
So it's quite obvious that they discovered something to mine there. The government came in three brand new Range Rovers, closed down three quarters of their housing. This has forced 35 to 40 people to live in two and three bedroom housing with septic tanks that's only supposed to be used by at least five or six people per house, like a normal thing.
Yep.
So the septic tanks are always overflowing. The kids are always getting, optimistic infections. They're doing it really hard up there.
Yeah.
And just on the 4th of May, John Pillinger posted a blog saying that Rosalie from Utopia had phoned him, saying the funding for the older people up there had been held back. There was one man up there in late-term Parkinson's disease who was given a half a kilo of mince and a loaf of white bread to survive on for a week. I mean, what are they thinking?
Wow. I know these are conditions that nobody really should have to endure, is it?
No.
It's not really fair. But now, we were talking briefly about, there was also something else when you were saying programs that come in that aren't suitable for that particular community. And I know that it was something about starting back in 2007, and there was a program that was put in place to prevent child abuse and neglect amongst Indigenous Australians that actually caused more harm than good. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
That was an intervention up in Northern Territory. That was proved to be a lie. It was staged by the government department of the time. A man went on to 730 Report, saying that he was a social worker up in the Northern Territory. He discovered child pedophile rings, petrol sniffing rings, alcohol selling rings, all this sort of crime happening up there.
Mm.
So John Howard sent the troops in. out of the 1,000 or more complaints they had, they investigated, one was found to be almost worth further investigation, and in the end was found to be no crime was committed. This has left a lot of the Aboriginal communities devastated in such a way that a lot of men now feel belittled. Mm. And it's very, being an Aboriginal man myself here in Melbourne, I feel it too. I mean, my granddaughter's 7 years old and I won't be left alone with her now, just in case. I like to live my life beyond reproach because I don't want anyone suggesting that might be happening. Mm-hmm. Because I've known of other men that it's been suggested of. That sort of stuff has just left a really big impact on the Aboriginal community.
Yeah, that can be very damaging, can't it?
Hmm.
Joy 94.9.
This is Whoa, 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 and that was Justin Timberlake with Can't Stop the Feeling. Gorgeous track. Enjoyed by our guest tonight. We have had a message in, and it says, "Hello, gorgeous Tex and Jesse. I'm lying by the pool in Santorini? Yes, enjoying listening to the show." And that's from Anthony, one of our previous co-hosts on the show.
Indeed, he just wants to rub it in that he's lying by the pool in Santorini. But nonetheless, Barry, thank you very much for listening, darling.
Indeed, great to know that you're listening. This is, of course, Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're talking with our guest, Bruce Fitzgerald, about all things Aboriginal. And Bruce, this is NAIDOC Week. We mentioned it at the top of the show, at the start of the show. What exactly is NAIDOC Week? What does NAIDOC Week stand for? Well, the word NAIDOC, if you like. It's an acronym. Yep.
NAIDOC, I don't know, mate. Mm. It's an acronym I've forgotten. But NAIDOC Week is a week that brings together all the Aboriginal different services. They invite all the other services to join in, mm-hmm. At different events. There's one event on Friday. That's the march from the VAHS, the Victorian Aboriginal Health Services, up down there in Nicholson Street, Fitzroy, up to Federation Square. Get there about 10:30. It's face painting and all that sort of stuff for the kids. Mm-hmm. VAC employees will be there. Mm-hmm. John Hall said to make sure that you get there. And there's a NAIDOC ball on the Saturday the 9th. At the Crown Palladium. For tickets, you have to go to vicnaidoc.com.
Cool.
I'll fix you up. And I think most communities will be having a special NAIDOC event. I live out at Coburg. We're having a flag raising at the Coburg Footy Ground on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughter's Rosanna Primary School had their NAIDOC week a week and a half ago because of the school holidays.
Oh, right.
Oh,
yep.
Of course.
Yeah, so all the kids learn all about their Aboriginality and about Bangala, the eagle, who's the creator. Mm-hmm. It was really good. But, yeah, it's just about getting the services together, letting people know about the Aboriginal culture.
Yeah. Great. Well, I know it says here on the NAIDOC Week website that the origins actually been traced back to groups in the 1920s, which sought to increase awareness in the wider community. So I guess it's been around for a while.
Indeed.
In the 1920s. Does NAIDOC Week mean anything special to you specifically?
Yeah, it's a good week to get together a few people. I'll be catching up with a couple of mates on Friday in the march.
And it's just good to bring awareness out to the community, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good to get out in march and say we're here.
Mm.
We haven't gone away yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And I believe, Jesse, the website for NAIDOC Week is naidoc.org.au, but I suppose it's probably really important to let people know how to spell NAIDOC. It's NAIDOC.
Which stands for National Aborigines and Islanders Day Observance Committee.
Indeed, I knew it was something along Aboriginal and Islander.
Yes, we do. We can't get it wrong next time, Tex.
No, we can't.
So, we... Sorry, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, but we'll be right back to talk about the Reconciliation Action Plan that VAC is working together with.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was The Other Boys by Nevo. Jake Shears, Kylie Minogue, Nile Rodgers, and The Kitchen Sink. Everyone was singing that track.
Gosh, everyone was involved with that one, weren't they?
They were. And, of course, you're here with Well, 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 and we're talking to Bruce Fitzgerald about all things Aboriginal, and we were talking just before the break about NAIDOC and NAIDOC Week. And now, Bruce, we're moving on to talk about the Reconciliation Action Plan. I know you're involved in the Reconciliation Plan that's been developed in conjunction with the Victorian AIDS Council. What exactly is it, the Reconciliation
You'll get that
Action Plan, and how did it come about?
It is a mouthful text.
Yep.
But the RAP plan is just to recognise that Aboriginals are a different set of people, that they actually exist.
Yep.
And that recognise that they've had a hard time in the past. And they might need a bit of extra help and a bit of different way of approaching them sometimes, which is just one of the things that VAC's implementing is cultural training for their staff at the moment. The other another thing VAC is entering into is a formal memoranda of understanding with the Victorian Aboriginal Health Services. Also, what else are we doing? Oh, last 3 weeks ago, we had Reconciliation Day down at the PLC. Yes. I gave
That's right.
A talk down there and all that. It was quite good. We've brought a couple of flags, put them up on the in the PLC. VAC's purchasing different set of plaques now to honour the people, the Aboriginals, original owners of the of the land that they were on. Yeah, it's all going along pretty well. We're having a NAIDOC dinner down at PLC on this Thursday night.
Yeah.
Mm.
And just to explain to our listener, the PLC is the Positive Living Centre in Commercial Road in Paran, a day centre for people living with HIV that presents all different sorts of activities. And Bruce, I saw that our CEO, Simon Ruth, sent around a photo of the two flags as they're flying in the centre, and they look sensational flying in the centre, both the Aboriginal flag and the Torres Strait Islander flag. They really look good.
They do look good, and I'm really pleased how Simon is really pushing this at the moment. He's really the force behind all this, I think, and it's it's about time.
Absolutely. I think as any kind of health service or thing, we do need to understand that it doesn't matter what group of people you're approaching, it can't always be just a blanket solution for everyone, and it's important to understand that different people have different backgrounds.
And we did have an Aboriginal worker for the first time this year at the PLC, an outreach worker.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go back home up to Queensland last month.
Yep.
He's not a young bloke. He found the pressure a bit much. But to the VAC's credit, they're looking for another person to take his place, and possibly having him as full-time instead of half and half with VA, Victorian Aboriginal Health Services. So that should be much better for us, I think.
Definitely.
Now, if anyone wants to get would like to be involved with the Reconciliation Plan and the work that you're doing with the Victorian AIDS Council, is there a way that they can get involved?
Yep. Contact the VAC. That's it.
So that's calling the Victorian AIDS Council on
Victorian AIDS Council
9865 6700, or going to the website and looking up the portal for the Reconciliation Action Plan. I will get it eventually.
We will get it eventually before the show ends.
And that's the that's the website vac.org.au and then /RAP Reconciliation Action Plan.
That's right.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well, 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 and of course we're on Joy 94.9, and we've come towards the end of another show, Jesse. Who would have thought?
I know, that did go by very quickly.
That song, of course, was called Brighter Days by Taylor Henderson. Quite a gorgeous, nice, bouncy track to get us through there. Of course, we'd like to thank Bruce Fitzgerald, who was our guest, who came in to talk about NAIDOC and Aboriginal issues as they exist across Victoria, here in Melbourne, and around all of Australia, and talking about some of those quite shocking statistics about the lives of Indigenous people. But this is NAIDOC Week, the National Aboriginal Islander Day of Commemoration Committee. the week when we celebrate all things Indigenous. And the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service NAIDOC Open Day Luncheon is coming up this Wednesday, the 6th of July, so not tomorrow, but on Wednesday, at 186 Nicholson Street in Fitzroy. It starts at 11 a.m. and you're invited to come down to the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service Open Day Luncheon. There'll be a deadly roast on the menu and plenty of activities that that will include an animal farm. There'll be a photo booth and there'll be performers. And if you'd like more information, you can contact Tanine on 9403 3303. That's 9403 3303.
Double three double O.
That's not like I said, double three double O.
So that number again is Tarnine, which is 9403 3300.
Indeed.
Well, now we have a flag raising ceremony that's also being held at Federation Square, which is on the Monday, and that's between 9:30 and 11. It's a significant event to mark the beginning of NAIDOC Week, and this flag-raising ceremony will bring together all members of the community to honour the culture of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples with a smoking ceremony. Welcome to country and moment of silence for our people who have gone before us.
And the Aboriginal flag will be flying over Federation Square for the entire week. As Bruce mentioned, we have the NAIDOC March, the 2016 NAIDOC March, which is happening on Friday the 8th of July, this Friday. This year, the march will be starting with a pre-march festival, and the march is set to start at 11:45 from the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service on Nicholson Street in Fitzroy, and the march will move down Nicholson Street, down through the city to Federation Square, and is expected to finish at Federation Square around 2 p.m.
Now it's come to the end of our lovely show again, Tex.
Oh, goodness, Jessie.
If you guys have missed any of parts of tonight's or any previous shows that you would like to go back and listen to, please do go and head to joy.org.au where you can download any of the Well podcasts. Now, have a great NAIDOC week, everyone. It's been a pleasure.
Cheerio, everyone. Yes, enjoy NAIDOC week. Get down to some of the NAIDOC activities, naidoc.org.au.
And you're with Jessie and Tex on Well, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Cheers, everyone, and good night.
Bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.